Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. It's the Tuesday Bulletin. It's the trio. It's Declan, Lawrence and Liam. We're joining you this Tuesday afternoon, gents. Another step closer to the league title, having got the hoodoo of St Mirren and Paisley off our back. And it's a big week. I think you could possibly say this is one of the defining weeks in the season. We've got a tough away fixture out the road in St Mirren. Parts at Celtic Park tomorrow night. And then it's a trip through there to Tynecastle on Sunday. Our tagline today, we're going to be chatting about Leah Labada. Has Leah Labada played his way into Ange's starting 11? Please do give us your thoughts on Leah Labada. Liam, I'll come to you. We'll get into this right away. Both you and I have championed Daizen Maeda on here for a hell of a long time. We're both big fans of his. I think he's a top class player. But I think there'll always be that point with the manager where he always looks to maybe freshen the team up a wee bit. And whatnot, he's not been one to say he's got a strongest start in 11, even though that was maybe becoming a wee bit apparent going into this game that we were kind of sticking to the same 11. But on a bad showing, I think, in Paisley on Sunday, I would imagine he'll probably start against Hearts tomorrow night.
Yeah, and the thing is, if he does start, you know, Maeda probably comes on after an hour or so. Or if Maeda starts, Abada comes on after an hour. So either way, they're both going to get some game time tomorrow. So really, if I was the player who doesn't start tomorrow, I wouldn't be that upset, because clearly the manager rates both of them very highly and sees both of them as long-term options for the squad moving forward.
Absolutely. And Lawrence, I'll come to you in this one. Jungle Lion coming in to say, as Ange said, I'm not here to keep players happy. I know one of the questions he was asked after the game was something in reference to Abada throwing his toys out the pram, and he hit back saying, you know, why would he do that? He reiterated this message. I know there's been chat, I think, last week from the Israel boss and saying that, you know, Abada not wanting to extend his contract, stay at the hoops, but I think his contract until 2026. He's an asset at the club. He's approaching 100 games. Just having a look at his numbers here, 15 goals last season, 11 assists, 12 goals this season, 7 assists. He's an important player for us. All that's just noise in the background. He played very well on Sunday. I think he probably will start tomorrow night.
Yeah, wouldn't be like the press trying to unsettle one of our performers before a big game with it. You know, maybe it's just been cynical, but listen, Ange gave it more time than it probably deserved, didn't he? You know, but he certainly treated it with the disdain it, you know, deserved from the reporter. You know, as if Ange wouldn't know how to handle a player that was out, but the pram, as if he's going to share it. But, you know, Abada, you know, if he doesn't want to sign on your contract, he's got 3 years left. You know, he's not in a rush at the moment. He's got frightening numbers. It's, and I suppose the front six know, more than likely five of them are going to get subbed at one point during the game. Just we play as a proper squad. For me, it's just an own issue that the press are trying to bring up. Yeah. Will he start? Maybe, but if he doesn't, as Liam says, he'll come on. He'll definitely contribute in the game.
Liam, well, I would add to that. Sorry, just to pick up on something there. The story of Abada's national manager apparently making noises about, well, you know, he's got to think he's at a national career, whatever. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think from looking into it today, that originated from the same sources as a very, very similar story a few months ago, with the Greece manager allegedly making noises about Giakoumakis.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, I saw no direct quote from Greece's manager then, and I see no direct quotes from Israel's manager now. Now, again, am I being cynical? Don't know. But if you're a hack working for a particular red top, you're going to think, well, I managed to unsettle one player with this strategy. Let's try it again.
It wouldn't be out of the question at all. And again, they like to put two bits of the jigsaw puzzle together. Abad is no longer with Dudu Dahan, our old mate who's brought us plenty signings in the door. I think he's went over to Juranovic's agent. So again, it'll be joining pieces of the jigsaw puzzle up and thinking, yep, maybe we could start a wee story in and throw something there. And Lawrence, as you say, wouldn't be like them. I think that came out just before the cup final, that kind of stuff. But the beauty of this, Liam, that I was going to ask you is, whether Abada starts or Maeda starts, we're not too fussed at this point in time, because we know that either player starts. You can even throw Ziyech, Sabanovic into that mix. It'll come in and do a turn for us.
Yeah, I mean, anything of the three, I would start Sabanovic, because I think he's the one that is more in urgent need of game time at the moment. In terms of ability, I don't think there's much to pick between the three of them. They're all excellent players, and they all contribute something slightly different. You know, Maeda has his defensive tenacity as much as his ball. And Hak Sabanovic is just a good.
I think our technical issues to Japan are coming through, but we'll sort you out, Liam, don't worry. You're a long way away, so it might just be something getting caught in the line, or it could be, you know, we were just talking about a newspaper accident, they could have just kind of jumped in and sorted your connection out. Lawrence, looking at it though, Abada changed the game for us on Sunday, no doubt about it. I think you could have actually taken off either of the wide players on Sunday. But Jota shut everybody up. Anybody that was kind of wanting him off at half time, he goes and gets you that goal. And you could see that it actually meant quite a bit to him, because for the whole first half, I think anybody that was watching it on TV, I was at the game, so I never noticed this, but I got a text saying that the St Mirren fans were giving Jota absolute pelters. So you could have taken anybody off, but he gets his goal. As Liam says, all of these wingers at this point in time are really, really top players, and it doesn't really matter who you play.
Yeah, I mean, listen, St Mirren set up well defensively, you know, only two beat us domestically this season. But the wingers that they get subbed, you know, they've done their job entirely in that defence out. You know, it's a bit of an easier job coming off the bench, facing guys that are tired, you know. So, yeah, they'll all play a part of it, but, you know, I'm just surprised with some of the decisions, again, you know.
On you go. Take it away.
You look at the old one. They eventually get it right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have a shot from just the edge of the 6-yard box. Would that be a goal scoring opportunity? You know, but there's no card at all. And you're just going.
Yeah, but one thing I want to bring in here, and Liam, I'll throw this over to you. Xander Max coming in their comments to say, sorry to go on about the weekend, but what would have happened if we scored after a handball? And before giving the penalty, it wouldn't have counted, as far as I'm aware, with the rules, that it would not have counted. That play would have been pulled back to the penalty. It's not improving at all. You know, people thought, get the World Cup, we're going to maybe press the restart button, they'll have a better idea. That there's absolutely no signs of this improving at all. The weekend, with our game and others was another sign of that. Even watching back the Ross County Motherwell game, it's a shocking decision in that game from Don Robertson. It's across the board, really, really poor decision making.
And it's not across
don't
the
even
board.
Start. Don't it's even start Lawrence and Ibrox. But there was in that game. There was in that game.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's not all teams are affected equally. I mean, there seems to be some immunity being granted somewhere
for one team. Yeah. So, but Liam, as he's saying there, back to that point in terms of that, I mean, that really says all. Standing at the game, I thought, right, okay, plays continued on here. He's not going to pull this back. Hey ho, whistle, does his wee box, and over he goes. It's like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah. And, you know, then there was the issue with the Kyogo penalty as well. It was like, you know, why do we keep getting it that whenever it's Rangers, there is like, what excuse can we come up with to give them the penalty? Yet when it's Celtic, it's what excuse can we come up with to rescind the penalty? You know, it's you can't just, well, actually in Scotland, you can just selectively apply the laws as you see fit. And that's the problem. No one is calling this out. It's complete nonsense. I assume you guys saw what the English referee Dermot Gallagher had to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's weird when you get impartial press down south.
I know.
You can call it out straight away.
Because Lawrence, tell us about the flip of that. Was it the weekend that you were saying just before we came on there?
Yeah, so they were looking at the game over at Poundland, and Gallagher's looking at the penalty the Rangers got, going, but the ball doesn't hit his hand. I can't see any image showing it hit him, hit his hand. Yeah, going, phew. He goes round everybody in the sky shoe, they're all bemused. Phantom penalty. We look at the McGregor incident. Yeah, that should be a penalty in a card. How did Kelly not get that? Potentially two goals here, a difference there in the game. In the game, and two goals here, a difference.
But Doug agrees.
The BBC up here, they've got the impartial Mike McCoy, Reverend Mike, well known for singing Rangers anthem in his church. And former Rangers player said, oh, that's a definite penalty. And call it when you got the ball. That could be a sending off.
And you can tell how much that frustrates your dog as well, Lawrence, in that house.
Yes,
it's going absolutely mental.
Someone's opened the door.
No worries at all. No worries. He'll be back. Liam.
No prizes for guessing which team the dog's supposed to.
No, not at all. It's a conversation, though, which I know it appears that we're having every week on here, but again, is relevant parts of the game which change the outcome, because at the start of the game, again, the frustration in it is that the person that's operating the VAR in the studio, wherever that was part of that was doing it, Brayhead or wherever, but whatever they're looking at it, they had 3 minutes to look at it. So even again, there's more time wasted with David Dickinson getting called over. There was no real deal about his performance on Sunday.
I know exactly a Bobby Dazzler, was it? No, but the thing is as well, like, the inconsistency goes beyond just the initial decision as well. I counted, now, call me a saddo for doing this, right? But I thought, okay, here we go, a VAR decision. I started the stopwatch. I counted 3 minutes and 34 seconds the play went on before it got called back for the penalty incident. Then took another couple of minutes for them to decide to give the penalty. So there you have, at least, by my reckoning, 5.5 minutes of time taken out of the game, right? Why? And then I think St Mirren also made a substitution after they got the red card. So There should be 30 seconds added for that as well. Why then was there only 4 minutes at the end of the half? It doesn't, I mean, it's like, even if you want to, like, you know, interpret the rules to suit your agenda, whatever, that's fine, but that's a different argument. But that's just straight up not following the rules of association football, you know?
Yep. It's still completely subjective here. The different referees apply different rules of the game. There's no cross decision. And Lawrence, again, I think some people even noticed, I know David Dickinson's taking charge of our games previously this season. He was promoted for the Championship last season. A lot of people were even saying he looked off the pace of the game. And if that's the standard of a Scottish referee and take everything else out of it, we're in trouble if we weren't already, because that performance on Sunday was absolutely woeful.
The weird thing is, you know, they used to get refs that go to the top. They now no longer get that. But there's no problem with referees in Scotland according to the authorities.
No.
So you can be both.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And Lima, I think that was something that people noticed, was that on Sunday, you know, that he was completely off the pace of the game. Which again, I think's fair. I attended the last fans forum meeting at Celtic Park. It's always interesting to hear what the people behind the scenes say at Celtic. They say that they do have a lot of communication with relevant bodies. There is formal communication. They have engagement from the governing bodies regularly. The club have flagged things that aren't working. There has been verbal and written feedback to both Michael Nicholson and Chris Duffy. The club say that they continue to make strong representations at these meetings, and that other stakeholders want further transparency and accountability. One of the things that they're looking at is independent reviews and acknowledgement that mistakes are being made and coming out and explaining why that. Basically looking at further independence and transparency. What's your take on that? That was what we were told at the last fans forum meeting.
Yeah, but the thing is, right, it's easy to say all this stuff, but unless it translates to concrete action, you know, it reminds me of, without getting political, I'll use a non-partisan political example here, right? Let's just say you go to the government with a grievance about something. Maybe your tax bill is too high or your, you know, or whatever. And the government say, okay, we're going to set up a committee to look into this and we're going to examine it. And then the issue is off the table and you don't hear about it again for 2 or 3 years. Then somebody else complains about it. And again, they say, well, form a committee and nothing ever happens. It feels like that's the way it is with Celtic and referees. Every fans forum, every bad decision that's made, the club always say, yeah, we'll raise it with the authorities and nothing ever happens. It is like the governmental merry-go-round that, you know, frustrates the hell out of me, both in Japan and Scotland, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it does seem that we're just going round in circles. Lawrence, we'll try you for a third time. People are saying, let the dog out. Is it the postman at the door? Everybody's wanting to know what was happening in there. But I was just saying to Liam there, I don't know if you caught that. The club are saying that they continue to make strong representations for themselves and want further independence and transparency. I think for a lot of people that are getting frustrated, they probably do think that that's not enough.
Well, who do you make the representations to for fairness? You know, and I think we've said this before, what an organisation, Jim Farrey got dismissed for his bias against us, that probably can stop, you know, definitely stop Cadetti signing. You know, he was almost a goal again. Probably cost his points in the league that season. You know, potentially stopping the old Rangers, his 9 in a row before it got that far. Well, these referee body, whose old head was dismissed for bias, you know, is it tearing jokes? Maybe not. Or the only time the head of referee speaks out is a, you know, still debatable offside decision that went in Celtic's favour with Kyogo. There's been so many other decisions since then. Doesn't feel the need to come out. You know, look at that penalty Rangers got when they're toiling against Thistle. How far outside the box? You know, McGregor, it's just how that's not given as a penalty. You've got VAR. They've got to have an image that shows that to award that penalty, they must have an image showing it hit that boy's arm with his hand. And they don't have that. You know, but we've had all the kid on excuses. The camera wasn't working. Yeah. So that's how you had to get your job. No, you needed to prove that it was offside and you couldn't do that. So the goal has to start. So you're not even following the rules. So I think they're going to the wrong people. They need to be going to UEFA and FIFA with this. The good thing is, it's getting so ridiculous now. Sky have called it out. You know, downside of it, everyone at Sky Sheep was like, there's no handball. How can he possibly get a penalty? And it's no longer honest mistakes, real time. This is, let's look at it, as Lee was saying earlier, and find some reason we can get it and see if there isn't any reason there. We'll just give them it anyway. You know, there's what, 11 games left. They would statistically need us to draw points in four of them, wouldn't they? And the VAR decisions are just coming thick and fast week in week. Four Rangers against Celtic almost every week. Would you put it beyond them? They've got, you know, four games left where they can deny penalties or give dodgy penalties. It's their only hope, because the way Andy's going to play football, there's no way that they're going to catch us. And from what I've seen of them playing football, they're making decisions almost every game. You know, I talk to Rangers fans, they admit they're not a good team. So it's a strange one. I think they need to go elsewhere outside of Scotland to try and get any kind of fairness. But the fact that Sky just going like that, it's just never a penalty. How is it possible to be awarded in VAR? Well, we all know how it's possible. You know, it was for Rangers, and they needed it to get a wee bit of distance away from their Kelly team.
I think the point in images is a really good point, actually, because... Sorry, Liam, on you go.
I was going to say, the thing is, it's not even benefiting Rangers in the long run, because all these decisions are just papering over the cracks of, as you say, Lawrence, a pretty mediocre team. And if games were allowed to play out as they should, they would have dropped a lot more points, and their fans would be pushing for... Well, they'd be pushing more aggressively for things to get sorted out. So actually, this, well, cheating is what I'm going to call it, this cheating is actually not benefiting the team that it's intended to benefit, because it is only covering up, it's only delaying the inevitable at Rangers, which is going to be a massive clear out of that team, because they're past it, quite clearly.
Well, how long would Captain Penalty have survived without his penalties? Because he's the most woeful right back I've seen in many a day. You know, and obviously Celtic target his position when we play him, and we get plenty of joy into it.
Yeah, Dyson made a lot of fun doing that. We'll move on from the Ibrox Hall of Famer and James Tavernier there. I think, though, Lawrence, just to kind of draw the discussion, we've had a bit VAR to a close. I think the point in images is a very good point. I heard in Sportsman the other night them saying that Alistair Johnson's goal shouldn't have counted for a handball. And again, it goes back to that point where there's no clear image to show that. So you can't really be saying that. So again, I think we've had a good chat in VAR. Again, it feels like we talk about it every week, but again, it was pertinent to the game on Sunday. Liam, it was a bit of an uncharacteristic first half performance from Celtic. Things weren't coming off for us. We looked a wee bit, you know, as if we were getting sucked in a bit by St Mirren. They were time wasting a lot. The ball was getting kicked away. There was a really kind of funny moment, if you're watching on as a neutral, where one of the ball girls wouldn't give the ball to Carol Starfield, and he was, you know, shouting and whatever because the ball was still in the park. And another one was left in the park, and the ball boy wouldn't come on to get it. But Ange got them in at half time. He obviously gave them a good telling, and it was watching a different team in that second half.
Yeah, it's kind of the inverse of the games have been playing out recently, because in recent times it's been like first half we've blown teams away. Second half, we've stuttered. Whereas the other day, I think we stuttered in the first half, and then we hit the high gear in the second half. The thing is, when this Celtic team clicks for an entire 90 minutes, we are going to absolutely demolish somebody. You know, there's going to be another 9-0 or something pretty soon if we can get the team to play the way they played in that second half for an entire 90 minutes. Because clearly they have that in them. And... it was funny, actually. I was watching the game with my dad over the iPad, and he was saying, like, you know, we had some bets on, and I took Celtic to win 3-1. I took Celtic to win 4-1. He was feeling optimistic, so he took 5-1 and 6-1 as well. And the funny thing was, we went 2-1 up, and I said, right, cash that out, because it's not going to finish 2-1. And he did. Then the third goal went in. I said, right, cash out the 3-1. But by the time he'd hit the button, we'd already scored the fourth goal. Okay. So. Yeah. So we only beat the bookies twice at the weekend, unfortunately.
That's not bad. As long as you're beating them, that's the most important thing. But, you know, as I say, really positive, good first half performance. I think that's a good point there, Liam, about is, you know, being a bit of a contrast to maybe usually. We usually start games well and have them wrapped up pretty much and see it out. But You know, Lawrence, once we started getting going on Sunday, you could tell that they were hungry to go and get more goals.
Yeah, definitely. But some credit's got to go to St Mirren. You know, they got their noses in front somewhat controversially. You know, probably the only team that kind of penalty is going to be given against. But, you know, they're good defensively. They keep in good shape. So once they're one up, they've got something to hold on to. And things weren't just coming off. But a lot of that, I think, goes to St Mirren. But, you know, they were obviously tired in the second half. And we came out a bit better. We refreshed the lineup. You know, it paid off. But we were listening to the guys after the game. They were saying, you know, we knew what to keep doing. We just keep playing our football. It works. Everybody knows their job. Mm-hmm. We know the drill. Anne just told us what our job is, what we need to do. And we just keep doing that and we'll win games. So, yeah, a wee bit strange. You know, it's normally first half and then tail off in the second. But, you know, some credit isn't there. You know, another decent performance for them. Maybe we should blame the strip. I don't know. Maybe we should win that strip. But
nah, there's nothing wrong with the strip now. I think the strip's been redeemed now, but we've had a hammering in it. It's absolutely fine, that strip. Although, I think we'd all like to see them with a wee bit better effort next season rather than that. I think a lot of people still think it looks like a training top or whatever. And at least, by the way, that we've worn it. I don't know if you guys remember the grey kit we brought out with a bit of pink in it. Yep. We never wore it at all competitively, which, again, probably...
It's a good question. Yeah. 4 strips a season, we've got another strip coming out.
Aye, supposedly, money, yeah.
It's just, you know, you used to get new home top, and then the next season, new away top, and you'd have a European top between the two seasons as well. It's crazy, 4 strips in a season.
Yeah. I think that probably even the frustrating thing, Lawrence, is that the third one that we're bringing out, and possibly, I know the fourth one that's coming out looks as if it's going to be limited edition or something, but some of the third kit efforts have been absolutely atrocious in recent times. I mean, one of my favourites back in the day was it was a white top with a bit of tartan in it. It looked quite nice. It was tartan shorts.
Tartan,
it looked really, really nice. But some of the other efforts have been atrocious. You know, I know a lot of people weren't too keen on the pink effort that we got for the 16-17 season either. But listen, kits are kits. If you want to buy them, you can go out and buy them. If you don't fancy them, you don't need to pick them up. But I think that, as I say, I think that kit's definitely redeemed itself now in Paisley. Just looking at the back to the game, Liam, Aaron Moy, again, some of them in that first half, as I say, you could have looked at it and thought, oh, they're not really at it today, but so cool. He lays on 3 of the goals. He's only getting credited with the 2 of them, but just another excellent performance from him.
Yeah, another masterclass. And again, it's, you saw a different dimension to his play and indeed to the whole Celtic team. I spoke last time about the character that we showed to get it over the line in the cup final in that second half. And I think we showed similar character at half time at the weekend, because it would have been easy to let the heads go down, but we were clearly fired up that second half and we came out and we were a completely different team. And Aaron Moy was a huge part of that. Not letting an indifferent, I wouldn't even say a bad first half performance, just an indifferent first half performance, not letting it get him down. And he kept going. And yeah, inspirational stuff, really inspirational stuff. And as Lauren said, credit to St Mirren, they clearly had a game plan. And, you know, up until the sending off, it largely worked for them. And I don't blame them for doing that. Sure, it's boring to watch, but, you know, at the end of the day, that is the only way a team like St Mirren can compete with a team like Celtic. And they have to do what they have to do. So, you know, fair's fair.
Yeah. And again, you know, they had a decent go at Celtic Park as well. It's not as if we're just seeing a team that are, you know, trying to pack it and whatever else they've got. Different ways of playing, and you could even see that after the game that Ange Postecoglou had a wee kind of quick chat with Curtis Main, because he could see that he'd, you know, given us a wee bit of a tough time, and they were pretty difficult to break down. I actually thought the game was going to get harder when St Mirren went to 10 men, because, you know, teams can be very well drilled in that and their shape and whatever else, that they just then take the step back. But Celtic picked that apart, and Lawrence, again, we knew it was going to be congested last weekend in the Via Play Cup final in that midfield. But when you've got a player like Aaron Moy, he could pick anything out. And, you know, that ball, second ball in for Alistair Johnson's goal is absolutely delightful. I was just waiting for him to get it into the back of the net.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, just beautiful. You know, Moyes, you know, he's cemented his place in the midfield. I'd say probably the Sunderland game was harder than the cup final for the team. Although the score ended up bigger, I think it was a harder challenge they faced there. But yeah, Moyes just sort of as a class, and I can now see the stories coming out in the media saying, "Oh, we could have signed them, but we spent it on Yilmaz or something." I don't even know. Of course you could have. It's just what might have been, eh? But yeah, another great performance but by him. And you know, as I've said, you know, the players come in and say, look, the manager's got us drilled. We know we just keep playing our football and it gets the results. The only thing we've got to worry about as it all season is VAR. That is the simple thing. It's the only thing keeping a title race alive. You know, this race should have been done by December. It might have been on a third manager, or Murphy might have been back in charge, who knows. But it's... Yeah, it's just fantastic to watch the way Ange's got him playing. You know, he's already talking about transfer targets for next season, that they're working on them. And that's got to increase the competition because players have got to want to stay here. You know, there must be some players that are getting game time just now that, you know, will be moved on in the summer to make way for whoever it is the Toshin team have identified, because they seem to be doing a cracking job of bringing in players.
Yeah, I think that will be in the plan. And Ange Postecoglou's not shirked away for saying that, you know, that's going to be the look at doing things. Liam, I find Aaron Moy still really, really interesting in this, that Celtic, that move almost seemed like the perfect fit after everything that had gone on, making that move over to China, not playing football, having been married in Glasgow. He met his wife when he was at St Mirren's here. I wouldn't honestly be surprised if Aaron Moy actually finishes his playing career here at Celtic, and if he keeps turning out performances like that at 32, I think Bruno lasted until 35-36. I know that last season that the legs might have gone, probably down to COVID and not training and whatever else, but probably still a good wee bit left in the tank, Aaron Moy. I know we're maybe getting a wee bit ahead of ourselves there, but again, if he's going to produce performances like that, I've got absolutely no qualms. I think his contract's up next summer, so it's not something to worry about at this point in time, but wouldn't be surprised if Celtic offer him a new deal possibly in the summer.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, he's one of those players, he's got the football brain, and I said the same thing about Bruni. That as he gets older and the legs do start to go, you know, I'm not comparing him in terms of ability, but in terms of the type of player, he could do what Lothar Matthäus did at Bayern Munich. You know, he was an attacking midfielder in his early career with Inter Milan. Then at Bayern, he was a holding midfielder. Then he was a defensive midfielder. Then finally, he finished out his career at the age of 41 as a sweeper. If you've got the footballing brain, you can just step that bit further back as the legs start to go, and you can play that wee bit deeper. And I could see Aaron Moy doing that. You know, don't be surprised if, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line, he is still with us, but he's playing in a much more defensive role.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I'm being given it tight in the comments. I need to bring this up. I've been told it's been half an hour. I've not went to an event, but I'm going to mention an event. There is an event on. Lawrence, you want to tell us a wee bit about it in the day after St Patrick's Day?
Yeah, so St Patrick's weekend in Glasgow, 18th of March, Captain's Night. Danny, Tom Boy, Big Roy. So not a lot of events. It'd be great to hear his stories. I know he had his run-ins with referees. I think it was another scandalous sending off decision that eventually persuaded him to move elsewhere. I don't think he felt the club had stood up enough for him. But yeah, Doubletree in Hilton, one of Joe Miller's. We'll all remember wee Joe stopping the treble, winning a cup for us. So it should be a cracking night.
Yeah, it should be day after St Patrick's Day. I think Mother's Day is the next day, so could be a few hangovers there for anybody taking their old mo out the next day. Liam, Roy Aitken's actually quite a good tie into the next point I want to talk about. A lot of people were really, really impressed with Alistair Johnson after the Via Play Cup final, and in the same kind of mould to Aitken, he's not afraid of getting stuck in, and when he's seen other players, especially some of the kind of players that might be seen as Celtic's talented stars and whatever else, he wants to protect them. His comments last week just going into the St Mirren game were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, as I said last week, one of my favourite moments of the cup final is when you had Alistair Johnson running 30 yards to chin a Rangers player who just booted Rio Hatate, and I thought that kind of leadership from a guy who's only been at the club for a couple of months really is incredible. And funny thing, you know, going back to the bookies again, I had a couple of quid on him to score at the weekend, because I just thought when a player is on the up, you know, yep, they usually the rise continues, and he got his goal. With a bit of help from, you know, hitting the St Mirren player on the way through, but they all count. And, he's a sensation. I'm really, you know, it's no disrespect to him, but we're really not missing Juranovic as much as I thought we would, because Johnson has come in and he looks as good a player. But the fact that he's that wee bit younger means he will hopefully become a better player in time.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's still adapting. I think, you know, we're only early March and he's still adapting to play that inverted fullback role, which has a lot of challenges. It's different to just playing, you know, as a defensive right back. So he's only going to get better, and I think that's a really good point in his age, that he's got that time under his belt. Like a lot of the other guys in there, Real Hitati, Dyson, Lea Labada, you can, you know, they all roll off the tongue, Jota, that are going to get better. I think even Greg Taylor's probably even still in that mould that he's going to probably step up another level. Once again, Lawrence, you know, everybody talks about the Celtic team and the attacking threat that we've got. St Mirren's game plan was there to frustrate us and whatnot, but again, another solid performance from our centre-back pairing and Carol Starfelt and Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Strolled it, absolutely strolled it. Cameron's shooting's a wee bit off, you know, could maybe do a bit of work on that, sure.
That was a really funny clip, wasn't it? That was brilliant.
Yeah. It's, you know, it shows there's still a bit of humour left in the game, doesn't it? But you know, absolutely strolling it. You know, they're so good together. I mean, I think that's where we might see one of the changes we talked about last week. Maybe Starfelt, there's a few clubs interested in down south. He's of an age. Starfelt's the older of the two. So if we were going to move someone on and follow our model, probably Starfelt, wouldn't it? But yeah, the two of them strolled it. You know, it's just cracking. Yeah, defensive record we've got when they two play together. So, for me, I think, you know, that's maybe Carl. He might get moved on, not because he's a lack of ability, but because he's so good. I think there will be players down there. We'll turn a profit on him. We've got Kobayashi in, and no doubt the Toshin team will probably be looking to bring in another centre-half. I think Declan's maybe gone a bit, Liam.
I was wondering,
both those guys have been really reliable for us in Starfelt and Carter-Vickers. Liam, Ocean Gu, another goal at the weekend. I know it was from the... I should be back. Am I not back yet?
You're intermittent, but I can hear you. Aye, so O got a goal at the weekend, you were saying.
O got a goal at the weekend. Granted, from the penalty spot, it was some run up for the penalty, but again, he will hopefully grow in confidence with that goal. I know that St Mirren was his last goal, but again, I think he's still going to play a really important part for us towards the end of this season.
You know, the great thing is that, as we've already talked about, with Ange's... and Tosh and the scouting network as well, obviously. The players that go out, the ones that come in, they do seem to be incremental upgrades. You know, I think Alistair Johnson is going to prove to be an upgrade on Juranovic. And the early signs are that O is an improvement on Giakoumakis. And I really think that's something to... you know, to be really happy about. And I do believe that in the fullness of time, if, as we've suggested, Starfelt moves on in the summer, and as Lauren said, not because of any questions about his ability, quite the opposite, because he's doing really well, he's going to attract interest, and he's at that age where we're going to want to cash in. I think Kobayashi could step up and be the next one that comes along and is actually better than the player that has preceded him.
He's in the wings, and we've seen a wee bit of him, so you never know, you might eventually get a glimpse of him. It's just where that game time maybe comes. I know the squad have been building towards weekend, midweek, back into the weekend. There might be room for some changes. I don't think there'll be too many between the games against Hearts, but obviously we've got that flexibility to do that if we really need to. Kyogo, quiet the weekend, Lawrence, but you don't need to worry about it, because I'm sure he'll be back in form for these two games, and I'm hoping he hits that 30 mark before that's the end of this month.
He's almost a goal a game, you know. It's quiet, but you've got that amount of goals, it brings a lot to the team. It's, you can have an off day, can't you? If that's an off day and your team's won 5-1, it's certainly the day to have them. But yeah, it's the games against Hearts, you know, I don't think Hearts will open up as much as they did against Rangers, where they played a really open style and paid for it. I think it's going to be fairly physical as well, and you know, worried about injuries. You know, you want to keep the treble dream alive for this season. So, two huge games for us. You know, they'll go a long way. Certainly one of them keeps the treble alive. Another one that's ticking off in the league. The only surprise it will be if there's no bar controversy, shall we say that.
And there was plenty of that the last time we were at Tynecastle.
Yeah, indeed.
First time it was used when we were playing.
We'll look at the handball there. The ref didn't even review it.
Nope.
Even it was the end of the game. They're sitting on a bad offside without going to bar when he's a mile on. But it gives Hearts just enough time to get the ball back in their box. Call me a bit, you know, cynical there. But yeah, I think expect more bar controversy up until it's impossible for anyone other than us to win this league.
Do you know what, though? I'm glad that we're playing Hearts in the league first before we play them in the cup, because if we can give them a good scudding tomorrow night, that will really throw down a marker ahead of the game at the weekend. Have them nice and broken and demoralised and ready for another tune, hopefully.
And you could change plenty of players going at that cup game if you really fancied as well, Liam. You know, you can say, well, here's the first time we're going to throw at you and here's the second time we're going to throw at you. Don't think we'll do that again. No, we've got that flexibility to make two or three changes, whether that's, you know, a bad in that I think will come in tomorrow night. You could throw O'Reilly in, although that would be harsh. I think another three midfielders in there. There could be game time for other guys. Obviously, as you both said, Haksabanovic off the bench, and Dullard's Dyson off the bench and others. We've got that flexibility to do that. Just where we were still on St Mirren, just one thing I want to ask you both. Being at the game, very noticeable. Don't know if it was as noticeable on TV. A lot of patches within the free stands that the St Mirren fans were in. We know that that's been an allocation cut, Lawrence, this season. They introduced a scheme, I think, at the start of the season that if you wanted to basically help the club financially, you'd be paying for an empty seat. There was also chat around tickets going to youth groups and schools and whatever. It didn't look as if there was too many of them there on Sunday. There needs to be a way around this, because there was plenty of people on Sunday who go regularly, and even those that don't go regularly who must be looking at that and being really frustrated, because there was only 1,500 Celtic fans at that game on Sunday when it looked as though the stand behind the goal, the opposite stand where Celtic used to get, that those fans could have been split between the other two ends.
Well, you know, St Mirren don't want to lose any kind of any more ground, should I say, because they don't want it to be like a home game for us. And, you know, if they're putting, you know, rather than grabbing the money, they're saying, well, you know, we want to give ourselves as best chance as possible of getting some points here. You know, they're six in the league. They're, what, three or four points off Europe?
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I don't think there has to be a way. You know, it's down to clubs to run themselves and run themselves well. Yeah, it'd be great if more Celtic fans could get, but, you know, St Mirren's not run for the benefit of Celtic fans. If St Mirren fans generally, you know, they've got the fan ownership, if that's genuinely the way they want to go, try and get more points in the league and better themselves, try and take away, you know, or the advantage that having the majority of fans on the ground would give Celtic, well, you know, they're perfectly entitled to do it. As annoying as it is, you know, because we would like more Celtic fans getting tickets, but St Mirren's perfectly entitled to do it, as are other teams. It's just, you know, it's annoying, but, you know, for St Mirren, that was a tough game of football for us, so they could argue, you know, the first 45 minutes it worked for them. They're the only team to beat us, you know, so I would say outperforming where you thought they'd be in the league, being in six, possibly coming into Europe. So if this is part of their overall strategy and it works for them, who would you criticise?
Liam, what was your take on it? Because I know a couple of weeks ago, again, they posted loss of profits. And again, I think people look at that and thinking, well, why are you keeping folk out the ground when you could be bringing in more money? I think there's an argument probably in both sides of this. It's just for sake when you go along to the game and thinking, there's plenty of people that could actually be filling that stand. You know, it's a spectator sport. Get as many people in, bums and seats, and create an atmosphere within the stadium.
Well, I mean, as Lorne says, it's up to the individual clubs to, you know, do what they want to do with their own stadiums. But I do think there's a bit of kind of a cut your nose off to spite your face about it, because why have empty seats when, you know, as my dad liked to tell me when we were doing our business together a few years ago, he says a pound note doesn't have a conscience. Because our company was actually looking after Celtic and Rangers at one point, and we're like, look, you know, it doesn't matter if the pound note comes through a blue nose or a green nose, as long as you get the pound note. So, unfortunately, football as a looking at football as a fan, as a sort of a, how can I say, as a mean expression of fandom as opposed to a business. The passionate fans will say, look, you know, keep them out. This is our stadium. We want us to be the majority, whatever. Fine, but it's no Celtic's fault. There's only 7,000 of you turn up, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's a wider problem with this. Now, we were lucky that the St Mirren game was on the telly. So those who couldn't get a ticket, you know, like my dad, for example. Now, even if tickets were available, somebody like my dad has long-term mobility issues. He would not have been able to go to the game anyway, right? And tomorrow night, there are no Scottish games on Sky, mm-hmm. Despite the fact that it's a, you know, there's Celtic and Rangers are both playing in quite important, high-profile games. And what happens to those fans that can't get to those games? I mean, I know Celtic are putting it on their pay-per-view service, but that is an occasional thing. There needs to be a long-term solution, you know, to say, look, see if we can't get enough tickets to satisfy fan demand. There needs to be some kind of domestic system similar to the international system where I pay 22 quid a month to get every game streamed, right? There needs to be some kind of digital season ticket. All of this nonsense about you can't show live games at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, it is so parochial and nonsensical. Because, you know, see, right, the J-League, right? Every game...
Are they not showing free on YouTube?
Outside of Japan, yes. Within Japan, it's a subscription service, but you get every game live. And you know what? The big clubs still fill their stadiums every week. So don't tell me that, you know, 60,000 Celtic fans are not going to go there next time we play the Mankey Mob just because it's on Sky, right? Don't tell me that as much as I dislike the place, Ibrox is not going to be full every weekend anyway, because there's plenty of people wanting to go and see that team. You know, the St Mirrens of this world, with the greatest of respect to them, are not going to fill their stadium, whether the game's on the telly or not. So, really, let's take that out of the equation. This whole thing needs to be looked at again. I was hoping during the COVID thing, I really hoped that that system would have stayed in place, because it meant that people like mm-hmm. my dad, for the first time in years, we could sit down together and watch every single game. And now it's only if a game is on the telly or if it's on the pay-per-view that we can watch them together. And that is a real shame. Because I know there are going to be tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of Celtic fans within the UK who are in that same position because of financial or mobility or, you know, illness. They cannot physically get to games. And they're just being shut out. And it's not right.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not right. Tomorrow night's game, I think, is on pay-per-view. But if I'm right with that new Sky deal, it was only five games per season, out with the ones that are televised and out with that 3 p.m. Nonsense that you're talking about there that can be shown live. This week kind of almost typifies it, and that if you were a Celtic fan, you had to have a Sky Sports subscription for Sunday. You would then have to buy the pay-per-view on Wednesday if you can't go. Then you would need a Via Play subscription for Saturday. That's three subscriptions during the cost of living at this point in time. That's not the best outcome for people that want to watch their team play football. Lawrence, one of the interesting things, you know, going back to this fans forum, it's something I didn't get the chance to mention on here, was that the club have proposed a kind of neutral family stand. And I know that's something that they have in Germany. To me, you know, just looking at it, you know, taking the Celtic point out of it, just for clubs trying to get folk in, if you can do something like that, it makes a lot of sense. They can do it no bother in Germany. I think there was Bayern fans in the Dortmund end. I don't think we're ever going to get to a case where you have Celtic and Rangers fans in the one end at a game, but there's probably some clubs that you could look to maybe do that.
So it depends what you mean being neutral, doesn't it? You know, what do you mean is mixing the fans?
Aye. Yeah, if somebody's got a child, they could maybe go into the St Mirren end type of thing, and they could buy a ticket in there with their kid.
Could they? But I think since St Mirren, you know, they're looking and going, we want the majority of fans to be St Mirren fans in the ground.
Mm.
I think if they do that, that's what they're going to lose. I think, you know, fans are, I think, there, and Motherwell have come out and said, no, we will not buy season tickets in the numbers if you continue to sell tickets, the majority ground to you know, Celtic or the new Glasgow team. So, yeah, it's about how they run their business. If they can see sustainably that, you know, year on year they'll grow more season books by not doing that, you're going to have, it's got a long-term impact, positive impact for them. If they post losses and don't do it, it seems a bit daft, but it's still up to them how they run their business. I don't think, you know, a neutral family stand would be different, you know. What we're doing, going to do, make them Celtic fans neutral, get in there, give them a ref top and say you're neutral now.
It was noticeable. I know it's a frustration of a lot of people that get a lot of games, and those that don't, because the opportunity maybe looks as if it's been taken away when it would make sense financially. But again, as you say, Lawrence, I think you've made a very fair point in that it's up to St Mirren's. It's the St Mirren's decision at the end of the day. And St Mirren's financial situation need, if not, be our worry. I don't remember that. Come on, I was born in 2000. Fergus was Ofsky.
By the time, you heard the legend, though. Beanbacks are great, yeah.
Oh, aye. No, but we're still living in it in 22 trophies in 11 years post-Fergus McCann era. Liam, tomorrow night, I think it's going to be a tough test. It was tough the last time out against Hearts, that 4-3 game at Tynecastle. Last season, I think games, if I can remember right, at Celtic Park were pretty tight between both teams, but I think we've came on a hell of a long way from there. I know we've only played them once at Celtic Park this season. It should hopefully just be another game ticked off, and then that's the kind of That's 28 games. It's also going to be Ange Postecoglou's 100th game in charge of Celtic tomorrow night.
Yeah. You know, I traditionally, Hearts are a team that give us problems. They're usually, you know, when the original Rangers died, before the Govan Dodgers rose up to replace them, Hearts were the big rival for us. But I do think that the Hearts team now is noticeably weaker than it was a couple of years ago. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. But again, so was St Mirren, and we took care of them. And they are teams of, I think, at the moment, a similar level. And with the home advantage... No, I mean, it'll be a physical game. It'll be, they will try to intimidate us or try to stifle our creativity. But I still think we'll win by two or three goals quite comfortably.
And Lawrence, you know, you made a point earlier on. I think Jota actually said it after the game on Sunday, and that the Celtic team just know that they stick to what they are taught to do, and that they will get the rewards eventually. It might be a case of that tomorrow night. I think as Liam says, there'll be a difficult challenge, but I think the Celtic team will always wear a team out eventually. And what you're bringing off the bench will just even give you that greater boost. In 250 goals and 99 games is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, some return. But listen, Hearts are in third place, but 5 points ahead of Hibs, so they're not going to get, you know, if we win and Hibs win their game, that's not a situation Hearts want to be in. They'll be going all out to take points off us. It's going to be a tough game, but there's one thing about Ange Ball, you know, if you stick with it, it gets results. You know, I fully expect us to win. I expect there to be some VAR controversy keeping the game close, but... I don't know. I mean, look, Liam seems to be a man for the bookies, but you know, would they give you odds on a penalty against Celtic or a penalty for Rangers these days?
It'd be a 7-1 on.
But listen, if it was 7-1 a penalty for Rangers, think how much you'd have made over the season.
Especially with your millions, Lawrence, for everything that you could stick on it. Liam, 100 games under Ange Postecoglou. I remember the very first game against Midtjyllandr. I think it's the second game that he gets asked that really daft question about it being a catastrophe or whatever it is. Somebody will tell us what the exact word was after it. That was two games in. It's certainly not been a catastrophe. I think at 99 games, he's won something like 73 of them at this point in time. As I say, in 99 games, we've scored 250 goals. All the noise has been there for the previous weeks about him, you know, heading elsewhere and whatever else. He put that to bed last week and saying, you'll be surprised how long I'm here for. 100 games down tomorrow night, I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come.
Yep, absolutely. I think, you know, I personally just feel so much pride in what Celtic are doing now with Ange and with the Japanese contingent, because it's a validation of thinking outside the box, getting a manager from a well-respected but not particularly well-known market. It's a validation of Japanese football in general. It's a validation of Australian football. And it is just the perfect time to be a Celtic supporter based on this side of the world, honestly. It's wonderful. And Ange is the guy who's made it all happen. And, yeah, I hope he's here for years and years to come. I really do.
Yeah, I do as well. He's been a complete revelation. And as long as he continues to build and evolve the team, which I think is his main ambition, I think he's going to take us, I hope, to heights that we've maybe not been at for a good wee while yet. I ended last week asking you both about iconic images from that cup final. I want to know, in the 99 games so far, obviously tomorrow night it's going to be 100, a moment, if you could pick one moment in it, which I know is going to be very, very difficult, what would it be and why? Possibly for me, when we go from 2-0 up to 3-0 up in that derby game at the beginning of February, the elation, and it was almost like disbelief how quick both goals had came. We hadn't beaten Rangers for so long, and it was a real kind of stamp of, yep, here we are, back on top once again, and we're going to go on and win this league title. That comes to a very close state and probably the final whistle in the League Cup final. It was, you know, us winning a trophy back, and I thought it was going to be the start of something special. So there's two to throw at both of you guys. Liam, before this one, you've just spoken about how good it is to be a Celtic fan on that side of the world. If you could pick a moment or a couple, tell us about them and why.
Well, not so much an individual moment, more of a recurring theme with Ange. I love it at press conferences when a journalist asks him a stupid question or a question that's already been asked and responds by calling them mate, when what he actually means is a, you know, another fact. Word that that rhymes with punt, and let's leave it at that.
Any particular football moments?
I would say that the February game was special because it showed that we truly arrived on the scene. It showed that we were the best team in Scotland, and it put us top of the league. The February game sticks out, but also the 4-0 game earlier this season, because again, much like the cup final, all the hype was around the tribute act and what they were going to do to us and how they were back and they were coming, and we blew them away, and we have not looked back since. I think February was when we emerged. That game was when we asserted our dominance on them, and I do not think that they have mentally recovered from that yet.
I think that's a good way of stating that. Yep, asserted your dominance on them, because as you say, as I said earlier on, it had been a while since we had beaten Rangers, and that 3-0 game just felt like a real elation and a real special night. Lawrence, what about yourself? 99 games, couple of moments for and you.
Angie's first trophy, as you touched on, cool goal, you know, scoring that wonderful goal, cracking. Tony Ralston up at Ross County, see the real team spirit there, you know, what Angie done for a player that many has thought, you know, perhaps wasn't as good as he's proven to be. The best. Yeah, I'd probably go away with Tony Ralston up at Ross County. You know, the real togetherness about the team, just that redemption of Tony in everyone's eyes, you know, just confirmation that, you know, Ange can develop players, that we don't stop. It just had everything done at 97-minute winner.
Yeah, and it was funny. A guy, I mean, everybody just completely failed. Everybody was going to absolutely maintain him. There was a guy in the deck, and we're trying to actually help him up, and it turned out he was on his bloody mobile phone, and he was shouting in the phone, yes, at somebody. We're trying to get him up. So just lost cause. Just leave him there. He's absolutely fine. Just complete jubilation, joy. I mean, thankfully, so far, I have never made the trip back from Dingwall having not won the game, and I wouldn't have fancied it that night, especially what we were kind of building towards. It was close to a cup final and all that stuff. I think another one probably in the mention is Abada, scoring that 96-minute winning goal against Dundee United. If you remember right, Rangers dropped points in Dingwall that day, and I thought that was a bit of a big turning point for us in the title race. Would you both agree with that?
Aye, that was special. That was special.
Yep, a few people
the
coming in.
The wife's still not happy with me for waking her up that night.
Yeah, I bet you that was high. Yep, there we go. Pat Dolan coming in to say a bad defeat Dundee United to make it 1-0 at the death. Uncle Nobby Steamboat coming in to say Jota's chip in the Derby game there. Roald McMillan coming in to say McGregor putting us back in command at their place. Absolutely. Let's see what else we've got here just before we wrap up. Hatate's two goals against Rangers at Celtic Park. He'd only been in the door a couple of weeks, I think. He'd scored at Tynecastle in his debut, and he pops up with these two. And there's a bit, I think it's James Forrest, is pointing up to the screen to let him know, you know, you're man of the match. And he's kind of looking at him as if to say, me? I don't think Hatate knew, but he did that night. Another one came in here to say 2-1 at Ibrox. Yep, that was a big win for us there. And came out, so we'll leave it at that one. Kyogo's debut hat-trick. And here another one actually come in. GG's Dundee third 3-2 that game. and St Johnston last minute. Plenty there. Good to get some comments on that. Good to hear both your guys' thoughts on that. As always, that's been a quick hour. I know there's been a few wee technical issues. I apologise about that. We'll blame the Wi-Fi signal getting from myself here in Maryhill, Lawrence. You're over Shettleston, Rutherglen, you stayed, Lawrence, and obviously Liam in Japan.
Yeah.
So we'll blame the Wi-Fi on that. Apologies, we will be back tomorrow. We'll be previewing the game, as always, from 12:30, and there will be coverage before the game, half-time, and after the game. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Celtic State of Mind, and have a great day.
Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.